Great plays. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. We're privileged to have with us Mr. Burns Mantle, outstanding American drama critic and known throughout the country for his yearly volume of Broadway's best plays. He will act as commentator at today's production of The Octoroon by Dion Boucicault. Starring Jane Wyatt as Zoe and assisted by a distinguished cast, including Parker Fenley as Salem Scudder and William Kelly as Jacob McCluskey. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burns Mantle.
We come pretty close to home with this week's play. Dion Boucicault was not an American dramatist in a strict sense, but he was definitely an influence in the upbuilding of the American theater. The Octoroon, which many have considered the best of his plays having an American background, was one of the minor cornerstones in the foundations of the Native American drama. When I think of Boucicault too, or read of his activities in the theater, I am automatically reminded of two of our most interesting and most significant play-building personalities. Boucicault, in the variety of his creations, was a sort of theatrical godfather to George M. Cohan. He wrote, staged, directed, and acted in most of his own plays, even as the gifted Cohan did 40 years later. And he set the stage that inspired the flattering interest and imitation of David Belasco. It was Boucicault who first put carpets in the living rooms he duplicated. It was he who took painted mirrors and those awful daubs of pictures off the scenery and replaced them with the real thing in stage furnishings. They called him the upholsterer of the stage. And if you can think of what it would mean today if our actors went clattering about our stage drawing rooms with hard heels clicking the bare boards, you will, I think, be inclined to thank the progressive Dion for his improvement. Boucicault was born in Dublin in 1822. His father was French, his mother Irish, combining, as you might say, the artistry of the Gauls with the humor of the Irish, and retaining the best, or at least many of the best, features of each. His first produced play was the long popular London Assurance, a favorite comedy in your grandmother's day that held over into the day of your fathers and mothers. He wrote in all something like 400 plays, thereby suggesting that prolific Owen Davis of our time. His plays covered a considerable range, but he probably will be longest remembered for his Irish comedies, Aaron of Pogue, The Shogun, The Colleen Bawn, and so forth. He was the author of those melodramas, After Dark and The Streets of New York. I think the interest of my generation of playgoers centers largely in Boucicault's association with Joseph Jefferson. He not only helped Jefferson humanize Rip Van Winkle and the Cricket on the Hearth, but he played with Jefferson in this same Octoroon we are to hear today. Jefferson was the original Salem Scudder, and Dion played the Indian Wanatee. He was a free borrower of plot himself. He took the Octoroon from Maine Reed's The Quadroon. But he was also the first to draft a copyright law that eventually halted the wholesale pirating of plays. It was he, too, who sent companies touring to protect his own plays and in that way established what we came to know as the road. Previous to that time, the road had been dominated by resident stock companies and the guest star system. You should, I think, accept the Octoroon in the spirit in which it was written. It was produced in 1859 at the first New York Winter Garden, 2 years before the outbreak of the Civil War, when the issue of slavery was uppermost in people's minds. Unlike Harriet Beecher Stowe, with her Uncle Tom's Cabin, Boucicault had no message to deliver. Like a crafty and careful showman, he favored both sides, now speaking well for the slaveholding customs of the South, and a few speeches later favoring the claims of the abolitionists. On the word of Henry Jarrett of Boston, there was a time when Boucicault collected as much as $15,000 a day in royalties and profits from his plays, which would be a lot of money even today. He came to New York first in 1853, but he did not settle here until 1876, and he died here 14 years later. And now let me introduce you to the characters in the Octoroon. First, there is Mrs. Peyton, mistress of the Terrebonne Plantation in Louisiana.
Oh, sir, I don't value the plantation for its price, but for the many happy days I've spent here. My nephew is not acquainted with our customs in Louisiana, but he will soon understand.
And her nephew, George Stacy.
I have never met any lady in Europe more beautiful in person or more polished in manner than this girl, Zoe.
The inventive Yankee overseer is Salem Scudder.
Yep. I reckon this picture-taking machine of mine will be a big thing someday.
And Zoe, of course, is the octoroon.
My father gave me freedom. May heaven bless him for the happiness he spread around my life.
And Jacob McCloskey has more definite ideas.
Curse their old families. I'll sweep these patients from Louisiana. And fair or foul, I'll have the octoroon.
And now Don Brusico's great melodrama of 1859, The Octoroon.
Or Life in Louisiana.
Oh, wine's a long night, wine's a long day. I've spent my money on the fortune bag, somebody's been on the day.
The first scene gives you a fine view of Terrebonne Plantation. A branch of the Mississippi River winds through the estate. We are standing in the front lawn of the old-fashioned southern mansion. On the lawn are tables and chairs. Mrs. Peyton is talking to Salem Scudder, her overseer.
Ah, good morning, Aunt.
Oh, you out early this morning, George?
I was up before daylight, my dear Aunt. We got the horses saddled and galloped over to Pine Pass.
You seem already familiar with the names of every spot on the Terrebonne estate.
Good morning, Mrs.
Oh, gee. Put the breakfast tray on that other table.
Yes, Mrs.
Ah, George, you remind me so much of your uncle, the judge.
Yeah, he sure does.
Salem, so you think he is resemblance to the dear judge?
Yeah. When I saw him and Miss Zoe galloping through the green sugar crop this morning and doing $10 worth of damage at every stride, said I, how like his old uncle he do make the dirt fly.
I say, Auntie, what a bright, gay creature Zoe is.
Zoe? Hey, I guess you didn't leave anything female in Europe that can lift an eyelash beside that gal. Why, when she goes along, she just leaves a streak of love behind her.
She don't even keep us waiting breakfast, though. Oh, please, tell Miss Zoe that we are waiting.
Yes, Mrs. Minnie?
Yeah.
Why don't you run when you hear the missus, you lazy critter? You?
I'm going right away.
That's the latest gal on this property. Don't do nothing.
My dear George, in your late uncle's will, you are left heir to this estate.
Yes, subject to your life interest and the annuity to Zoe, is it not so?
Yes. I fear, though, that the property is so involved that the fictitious economy will scarcely recover. My dear husband never kept any account, and we don't know in what condition the estate really is.
Oh, yes, we do, ma'am. It's in a darn bad condition. You see, 10 years ago, Judge Payton took his overseer a bit of Connecticut hardware called Jacob McCluskey. Well, the judge didn't understand accounts. The overseer did. For a year or two, all went fine. The judge drew money like bourbon whiskey from a barrel. So one day, he found the tap wouldn't run. Well, he looked in to see what stopped it and pulled out a big mortgage. Fine that, says the overseer. It's only a formality. All right, says the judge. And away went 1,000 acres. So now, at the end of 8 years, Jacob McCluskey Esquire finds himself proprietor of the richest half of Terrebonne.
But the other half is free.
Oh, no, it ain't, Miss George. Because just then, what does the judge do but hire another overseer? A Yankee, too. Yankee named Salem Scudder. That's me.
Oh, Josie.
Hold on now, hold on. I'm going to straighten this account clear out. Well, what was this here Scudder? Well, sir, he lived by inventing.
Inventing what?
Improvement. Anything from a scale A to a fire engine. Well, he cut that for the photographing line. He and his apparatus arrived here, took the judge's likeness and his fancy, and the judge made him overseer right off. Well, sir, what does this Scudder do but introduce his inventions on this estate? But his new cotton gins broke down, and the steam sugar mills, they bust up, until he finished off with his folly what Mr. McCluskey with his knavery begun.
Oh, Salem, how can you say so? Haven't you worked like a horse?
No, ma'am, I work like an ass. An honest one, and that's all. Well, now, Mr. George, you see, between the two overseers, you and this good lady have come to the ground. That's the state of things at present, just as near as I can fix it.
Well, there, Zoe, now.
Yeah, ain't that a cure for old age? It kind of lifts the heart up, don't it, huh?
Oh, the poor child. What will become of her when I'm gone? She's had the education of a lady.
I've remarked that she's treated by the neighbors with a kind of familiar condescension. It annoys me.
Hi, Mommy. Mr. Scudder, good morning.
Thank you, Miss Zoe. I'm from Fayette, Midland. like a bamboo cane, much the same all year round.
No, like a sugar cane. So dry outside, when you'd never think that there was so much sweetness within.
Hello?
Oh, just called Miss Dora.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Miss Dora.
Good morning, Mr. Peyton.
Good morning, Miss Sunnyside.
Dora, isn't he is he in love with anybody? Shall I ask him?
Oh, dear, no.
I wish he would make love to me. They say all the women in Paris were in love with him.
Jacob McCluskey, the overseer, coming this way, ma'am.
Good morning, Miss Dora.
Here, your servant, Mr. Satan.
Stand me, Joe. I don't like that man.
You begged me to call this morning, ma'am. I hope I'm not intruding.
My nephew, Mr. Peyton.
No, how do you do, sir?
Mr. McCluskey.
Zoe, tell Pete to give my mare a feed, will you?
Hello,
did I tread on you? Here's that little darky Paul with that redskin wannabe.
Here I am, Master George. Golly, ain't that gun you can is pretty? Are you going bear hunting?
Yes, Paul. I was waiting for you to come along.
Here, Paul, you imp. If I catch you and your redskin friend gun into my swamp, I'll give you a rat.
You give me rat time, Master Crossy? But I guess you better take a long stick to one or two. He makes bacon of you.
Make bacon of me? You mean that I'm a pig? By heaven, I'll whip you within an inch of your life.
Oh, please, sir, don't. Hey, don't.
No, do. Darn you, redskin. Let go of my hand.
I'll pay you for that someday. Both of you.
I reckon Wannity's trying to pinch your arm, Jacob. Well, serves you right for trying to strike that boy with that whip.
Ah, that engine is a nuisance. Why don't he return to his people out west? He's too fond of thieving and whiskey.
No, Wannity is a gentle, honest creature. And remains here because he loves that boy Paul with the tenderness of a woman.
Wannity, will you go back to your people?
No, please.
You don't understand, Missy. He speaks a mix-up of Indian and Mexican.
Come on, Paul. It's time we were starting.
Don't keep going. I wanted to stay and make love to you. That's what I came for today.
George, I can't stay up all for an hour or two. We must run over to the landing. The steamer from New Orleans passed up the river last night. And there's a mail aboard. They pulled it ashore.
I saw the mailbags laying in the shed on the wharf this morning, ma'am.
I expect an important letter from Liverpool. Away with you, Paul, and bring the mailbags here.
I'm most afraid to take one or two to the shed, missy. There's rum there.
Oh, rum.
Well, come along, then. But if I catch you drinking one or two, I'll give it to you. Now, mind. Come on.
Rum. Oh,
come, Miss Dora. May I offer you my arm?
Oh, Mr. George, I'm afraid it's all we hear is true. You've led a dreadful life in Europe.
That's a challenge, Miss Dora. To begin a description of my feminine advantage.
You have been in love, then?
249 times.
What?
Let's take a walk, and I'll tell you the worst cases.
No, no.
I put the naughty parts in French.
I won't hear a word. Oh, you horrible man. Come on.
Now, ma'am, I'd like to talk a little business, if agreeable. I bring you news. Your banker, Olaf Fouchier of New Orleans, is dead. The executives are winding up his affairs and have foreclosed on all overdue mortgages. The hotel run is for sale. And here's the New Orleans sitting room with the advertisement.
What a bum to sell.
What a bum to sell. And you, sir, you will doubtless become its purchaser.
Well, ma'am, I suppose there's no law against my bidding for it. Sorry, I can't help you. But the fact is, you're in such an all-fired mess that you couldn't be pulled out without a derrick.
There is one hope left, yes, and I cling to it. The House of Mason Brothers in Liverpool failed some 20 years ago. They were in my husband's debt.
Yes, I know. They owed him over $50,000.
I cannot find the entry in my husband's account. But you, Miss McCloskey, can doubtless detect it. Oh, Joey, bring me the judge's old laptop. It's in the library, dear.
Yes,
why, you don't expect to recover any of this old debt, dear man?
I do. The firm has recovered itself, and I received a notice 2 months ago that some settlement might be anticipated soon.
Why, with principal and interest, this debt has been more than doubled in 20 years, ma'am. Why, Miss Peyton, if that's the case, there ain't a planter around here who wouldn't lend you the whole cash to keep your name and blood amongst us. Well, come, go in, Red. Leave everything in the hands of Salem Sutter. Come on.
Curse their old families. I can see a thin lot of dried-up aristocracy. I'll squeeze these patents from this section of the country.
You
never
figured in the
town, John. Oh. Zoe, so you brought the little desk containing the old judge's papers. Zoe,
Do you know what the annuity the old judge left you is worth today? Not a picayune, sir, eh? Not a picayune.
It's surely worth the love of the dictator. Good morning, Jacob McCluskey.
Zoe, come here. How would you like to rule the house of the richest planter in Louisiana, eh? Now, look here. These papers are bust. Cut them. I'm rich. Join me. I'll set you up grand. And we'll give these first families here our dust. What do you say?
Let me pass, Jacob McCluskey. Huh? Let me pass.
You won't? If young George Satan was to make you the same offer, you'd jump at it pretty darn quick, I guess. Oh, come, Zoe, don't be a fool.
You think I'd live here on such terms?
Why not? We'll hire out our slaves and live on their wages.
But I'm not a slave.
No. If you were, I'd buy you. If you cost all I'm worth.
Let me pass, sir.
Huh?
Let
her
pass, Mr. Huckley.
Huh?
I say let her pass.
Oh. Is that you, Mr. Overseer?
Yeah, I'm here, somewhere, interfering. You can go in now, Miss Zoe.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. A pretty mess you've got this estate in.
Yeah, me and company. We done it. But as you were senior partner in the concern, why, I reckon you got the big lick.
How do you mean?
Well, let me proceed by illustration. Now, look there. You see that tree? That's called a live oak, and it's a native here. Beside it grows a creeper. Well, year after year, that creeper twines its long arms around and around the tree, you know, sucking the earth dry all about its roots. Until at last, the live oak, it withers and dies out. You know what the darkies around here call that sight? They call it the Yankee hugging the Creole.
If you want a quarrel, sir,
No, I'm the scariest critter at a fight ever seen. You see, my legs, they've been too well brought up to stand and see my body abused. I take good care of myself, I can tell you.
I hear that you defamed my character.
Well, whoever said so lied.
Huh?
No, I always said you was the darndest thief that ever escaped a white jail to misrepresent the North to the South.
What? By heaven, I'll...
Take your hand down, take it down. That's better. Whenever I get into company like yours, I always start with the advantage on my side.
What do you mean?
I mean that before you could draw that bowie knife that you wear down your back, I'd cut you in shingles. Now, Jacob McCluskey, you despise me because you think I'm a fool. I despise you because I know that you're a knave. Well, between us, we've ruined these statements. You ruined the judge, and I finished off the widow. Well, now I feel bad about my share of the business. I'd give half the balance of my life to wipe out my part of the work.
Well, what's that to me?
Hold on, Jacob. I'm coming to that. I tell you, I'm such a fool, I can't bear the feeling. It keeps at me like a skin complaint, you know. And if this family is sold out,
I... Well, what then?
I'll cut my throat. Or yours. Of course, yours I prefer.
And all for the sake of that old woman and that young puppy George, eh? No other cause to hate, to envy me, to be jealous of me, eh?
Jealous of you? What for?
Half the color in your face. Do you think I can read you like a book? You pretend it's a family alone you care for, it ain't. You know it ain't. It's the octoroon, and you love her as I do. And you hate me because I'm your rival. That's where the tears come from, Salem Scudder, if you ever shed any. That's where the shoe pinches.
Well, I do like the gal.
She's in love with young Peter. It made me curse what it made you cry, as it does now. I see the tears on your cheeks now.
Look at him, Peter. With her honest water from the well of truth. I ain't ashamed of it. I do love the gal. But I ain't jealous of you. Because I believe the only sincere feeling about you is your love for Zoe. By fair means, I don't think you can get her. And don't you try foul ones with her. Because if you do, Jacob, civilization be darned, I'm on you like a panther. And when I'm drawed out, I'm fighting. Good day, Jacob.
Fair or foul, I'll have her. Take that home with you, Mr. Scudder.
He's gone. Now for the judge's status. Now, what's here? Judgment? Oh, yes, plenty of them. Now, what's this? The free papers of my daughter Zoe. Registered February the 4th, 1841. Why, Judge, weren't you lawyer enough to know that while the judgment stood against you, it was a lien on your slaves? Zoe is your child by a quadroon slave, and you didn't free her. If this is so, she's mine.
Yeah, this old Liverpool debt, huh? And they spoil my plans, unless it arrives too late.
Now, hold on. There's this letter the old lady expects. That's it. Get the only head off that letter, and Caravan will be sold before they can recover it. The boy and the engine have gone down to the landing for the mailbag. They'll idle on the way as usual. My mare will take me across the swamp, and before they can reach the shed, I'll have them bagged. Ne'er a letter will show in this mail. Teach your turkey buzzard. Saddle my mare. If I sink every dollar I'm worth in her purchase, I own that octoroon.
On the wharf at Terrebonne, piled high with boxes, bales of cotton, and so forth, Salem Scudder is setting up an old-fashioned camera on a stand to take a picture of Dora. George Satan and Paul are looking on with interest.
Now, just turn your face toward them bales of cotton, Miss Dora. Now, remember, you're sitting on a wharf, not in a drawing room.
So? Is that data?
Yeah, that's right. It's a long time since I've done this sort of thing, and this old machine has got so dirty, I'm afraid it won't operate so good.
She looks as though she was going to have a tooth drawn.
Now, I got four plates ready in case we miss the first shot. One of them's prepared with a self-developing liquid that I've invented. Now, just fix yourself. Are you ready?
Ready.
Fire. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So, that's enough.
Is it all cooked, Master Scudder?
Hey, what are you doing here, young varmint? Ain't you cooked them mailbags to the house yet? Clear out now. I got work to do in the dark place here.
Say, Mr. Scudder, will you take me in that telescope?
Get out.
You got four of them plates ready. Gosh, I'd like to have myself cooked.
Go on, clear out here, go on. Job never had none of them critters on his plantation, else he'd never lasted through so many chapters. Well, the picture's come out clear, isn't it, Miss Dora? Look.
Oh, it's beautiful. Look, Mr. Peyton.
Well, yes. Very fine. Oh, the apparatus can't mistake. Sometimes the effect ain't agreeable, but the truth seldom is.
Master Scudder, Master Scudder.
Hello, Pete. What are you blowing that steamboat for?
You blow too, Master Scudder, when I tell you. There's a man from New Orleans just arrived at the house, and he stuck up two papers on the gate. They says, for sale, this year property. And Miss Payton done cried her eyes out.
Well, what's the matter, Pete?
She's come, I see him.
Why, the sheriff from New Orleans has taken possession. Terrebonne is in the hands of the law.
Oh, Mr. Scudder, Joe, Mr. Payton, come home. There are strangers in the house.
Is this calamity so near, Mr. Scudder? Can nothing be done?
Well, it don't appear so.
I can't guess. It's left the whole lot.
Joey, child, listen. I love George Payton. If he would propose marriage to me, my fortune would release the estate from debt. But if he continues in his slow European way, I fear it will be too late. What's to be done? You tell him.
Pete, did you come here? Did you pass Paul in the engine with the letter bag?
Did you, Pete?
No, sir. Them vagabonds never take the respectable state road. They goes by the way of the swamp.
How's your time, Jerry, to get him alone? Oh, Mr. Scudder, will you take us with you back to the house, please?
Yes, ma'am. A pleasure. Shall I carry your letter
to you? Joyce, will you remain here? I wish to speak to you.
Why, yes.
By our ruin, you lose all, Joyce.
Oh, I'm nothing. Think of yourself.
I can think of nothing but the image that remains face to face with me. So beautiful, so simple, so confiding that I dare not express the feelings that have grown up in my heart.
You mean Dora?
Oh, if I only dared to speak.
So that's just what you must do, and do it at once, or it'll be too late, George.
Has my love been divine?
It has been more than suspected.
Joy, listen to me, then. I shall see this estate pass from me without a sigh. The only estate I value is the heart of one true woman, and the slaves I'd have are her thoughts.
George, your words took away my breath.
The world, Zoe, is before me. The education bestowed on me by my dear uncle, no sheriff can see. I will work.
Work?
Sure.
Yes, Joey. Work is the salt that gives savor to life.
Joel, I said you were slow. If you could hear you now.
Joey, you're young. Your mirror must have told you that you're beautiful. Is your heart free?
Free? Oh, of course it is.
We've known each other but a few days. But Joy, you must have seen that I love you. Will you marry me?
Me? You love me? Oh, George, you know not what you say. Your wife. You know what I am.
I only ask, do you love me?
Oh, yes. But, George, the law forbids our marriage.
Forbids it?
Yes, George. I am an octoroon.
What? What are you doing there, Jacob McCluskey, hiding behind those bales of cotton? Have you been eavesdropping?
What have I had? This was public property.
Come, George, take me home. This mail makes me shudder.
All right. Come, dear.
She loves him. I feel it. But I'll have her if it costs me my life. And they're on. Yonder comes Paul with the mailbag. He's coming this way fighting with his engine. I'll hide behind these cotton bales.
It ain't no use, Wannerty. You got to give it up. You got that bottle of rum hid under your blanket. And give it up now, you. Come on. Yeah, I have it. And I ain't going to sit up with you all night.
Hello.
Oh, where's the crowd gone? And there's the pitch apparatus. If I could take a likeness of myself, let's have a peep in it. Golly. Wannerty, I see you. Sorry, you see.
No, don't do one of these. Boom.
And he thinks it's a gun. You ignorant engine, it can't hurt you. He's in dishes. In the plate. That's what he call him. I think I'll take your picture. One of these. Stay there.
No, Carabine. Do.
I must operate and take my own likeness, too. Now, how the devil I do that? I can't be over there and here, too. And I ain't twins. Wannerty, you do it. And you see this black rag over this box? Well, when I say go, then lift this rag like this, see? Then run to that pine tree up there and back again. And then pull down the rag so. You see? Then you can have a glass of rum.
Oh, rum.
That wakes him up.
fire water.
Yeah. Then you can get a glass of fire water. Now, I'll sit here on this mailbag so. Now, Wannerty, lift up the rag. Now then, run.
You got to run to the city of refuge. You got to run.
Yonder goes the engine.
The time he's gone just about enough to cook that plate.
Yonder's the boy. And here's the engine's tomahawk. Now is my time. The boy is sitting on the mailbag, on his cuffs. I'll clear him off. He'll never know what's done him. But that's a mine. Now for it. What's here? Mail for Sunny Sign, Poindexter, Jackson, Peter. Yes, here it is. The Liverpool postmark showing up. The very letter she expected. And here's a draft for $40,000 on the Bank of Louisiana. What a find! This infernal letter would have saved the estate. But now I guess it will arrive too late. These darned U.S. mails are to blame. Oh, the engine is coming. He must be seen.
What is he? Back. Pull black rag down. Only Paul. Wake up. It's one of these. Oh. He knows, see? Blood! Paul's dead. Me know who killed him. That devil machine. What did he think? Paul. Ernie Paul. Little Paul. Dead.
Thank you.
We have come to the scene of the auction of Terrebonne as it has been engineered by the villainous McCloskey. The Negro Pete is showing Captain Ratz and other prospective buyers about the place.
Come this way, gentlemen.
This is a well-built old family mansion with every comfort, Mr. Scudder.
Yep, one of the best mansions in Louisiana, Captain Ratz.
Here's a list of sleeves stacked on the door. Number 49, name's Crossell. Paul, a quadroon boy.
Yeah, he's missing.
Runaway, I suppose. I'm afraid, Mother, he's dead.
What?
That bright little boy who used to sing and dance aboard my boat?
Yes, Mother.
Yep. We missed Paul for several days. Never thought nothing till one night that Indian, Wanatee, he suddenly stood among us. He was in war paint. Well, where's Paul? I says. He smoked a long time, and then he says, Paul dead. Then he disappeared.
Redskin killed him, I'll bet.
Well, that's what some folks believe. And so mad are the folks around here that they'll lynch him if they catch him. Well, gentlemen, the sale will be ready to begin shortly, so will you excuse me a few minutes, gentlemen?
Yeah, certainly. We'll look about, please.
Oh, I'm troubled, Lord, I'm troubled.
Lord, I'm
troubled about my soul. When I get up in the kingdom, Lord, I won't be troubled no more.
Pete?
Yes, Master Scudder?
Well, I've bad news, Pete.
Yes, Master?
You know, Pete, the plantation once sells went up to pay the debt. So I'm afraid the black folks will... Peter can't say the word.
You mean it's got to be stole?
I'm afraid you must be.
Split up and sent away, huh?
What?
Well, sir, the day isn't ungrateful. They'll bear it as Christian folks should. And if their flesh and blood can pay the judge's debt, they'll give up their lives, sir. I know they will. All of them. For he was a good man to us.
Well, the auction is about to commence, so go, Pete, and tell your people.
Yes, Martha, I'll prepare them for what's coming. I'll go tell them.
Well, I'm sorry to intrude, Mr. Satan, but the business I come for will excuse me. Here's Zoe.
Wait, here's my nephew. What you have to say, he must be a true.
What is it now, Addie?
Perhaps I'd better go.
Well, as it concerns you, perhaps you better have.
Concerns Zoe?
Well, I don't know. She may as well hear the hull of it. Go on, Colonel. Colonel Poindexter, ma'am. The mortgagee, auctioneer, and general agent.
Pardon me, madam, but do you know these papers?
Why, yes, sir. They are the free papers of the girl's doing. They were in my husband's secretary. How did you come by them?
I found them. Go on, Colonel.
The list here of your slaves is incomplete. It lacks one.
Yeah, the boy Paul. We knew that.
No, sir. You have omitted the octoroon girl, Zoe.
Zoe?
At the time the judge executed these papers, a judgment stood recorded against him. While that was on record, he had not the right to make away with his property. That judgment still exists. Under it, those three papers aren't worth the same song. Now, what's it?
Zoe, a slave? Why, it's impossible.
But the creditors won't claim the girl.
Excuse me. One of the principal mortgagees has already made the demand.
Oh, it cannot be. It shall not be. Zoe, they shall not take you away from us while I live. No. Don't be a fool, George. They kill you and then take her just the same.
Do not fear for me, George. I'd rather be a slave with a free soul. And remain free with a slavish, deceitful heart. My father gave me freedom. At least, he thought he did. May heaven bless him for the thought and for the happiness he spread around my life. Let me be sold then, that I may free his name. For I can never repay the love he bore his poor, octoroon child.
Oh, my husband, I thank heaven you have not lived to see this day.
George, leave me. I would be alone a little while.
Zoe.
Oh, do not weep, George. Do not see what a miserable thing I am.
Zoe.
Well, I wish they could tell me. I brought half this ruin on this family with my all fired and food.
Go now, George. Leave me. Take your aunt with you. Now I am alone. Alone. A slave. Is it a dream? My brain reels at the blow. He said I was a slave. Then I shall be sold. Sold. And my merchant. They're coming.
Come on,
now then, gentlemen, Gentlemen, there still remains a few items for you to bid on. Squire Sunnyside has bought the plantation and most of the slaves. Now then, gentlemen, I offer you the house servant seat, number 6.
Seat?
Yes, sir. That's me, sir. Yes, sir. I'm coming.
Step up here. Step up here on this
Yes,
box.
Sir. Yes, sir.
His age is 72.
What's that? No, sir. That's a mistake, sir. 46.
And he's late.
But don't amount to nothing. I can work. Come on, Judge. Pick me up.
$100.
What's that? Me only $100?
$500.
Oh, Master George, no, sir. Don't you buy me. Keep the money for something else. I ain't no counselor, no, sir.
$500? $500 is a good price. $500 once, $500 twice, $500 the third and last time. Sold is yours, Mr. Creighton. The next on the block is the Octoroon gal, Zoe.
We all know the girl's position. Let us save her from slavery.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, this is an auction. It's my duty to prevent any collusion to reduce value.
Well, Johnny, you're a man as well as an auctioneer, ain't you, point it?
What is offered for this slave Zoe, the Octoroon?
$1,000. $2,000. $3,000. $5,000. I bid $7,000, which is the last dollar I have.
$8,000.
I bid $9,000. By heaven, I'll save the girl.
$10,000. It's no use, Scatter.
Take up a custody. You shan't have the girl. Now you take care of what you do. $12,000.
Can I? $15,000. Be fair if you can.
$15,000 is bid for the afternoon.
$20,000. $20,000. You?
Yes, I'll save you if I can.
Not yet. I bid $25,000 for the Octoroon. You devil.
Hold on, George Mason. Stand there. Hold him, somebody. Hold him there. Hold him. George, this is your own plantation, your uncle's home. If we can't behave like Christians, let's try to act like gentlemen.
Gentlemen, I believe none of us have two feelings about the conduct of Jacob McCluskey, but he has the law on his side. We may regret, but we must respect it. Mr. McCluskey has bid $25,000. Any raise? $25,000 once, $25,000 twice, $25,000 third and last time. Sold. Gentlemen, the Octoroon is sold to Jacob McCluskey for $25,000.
Shall I go away? Shall I go? Where shall I go? For ease my troubling mind. Oh, where shall I go? Where shall I go? Where shall I go? For ease my troubling mind.
Roll out, hear that sun. Roll out, hear that sun. Roll out, hear that sun. In that long day.
We are back at the wharf, but now the steamer Magnolia is tied up alongside. Captain Ratz is superintending the loading of the boat.
Not on before we start, Captain.
Just as soon as we put this cotton on board, the Jack.
Well, that's 149 bales. Can you take any more, Captain?
Not a bale, Cutter. I've got to pick up 800 bales at the next landing, 100 hogsheads of sugar and fat and slide. That'll take my guardrails underwater. Now hurry up there, you men.
Heave that cotton, roll out. Heave that cotton, roll out.
All aboard, Captain.
All aboard, then.
Ah, see here, Captain. There's a small freight of turpentine in the forehold there. One of the barrels leaks. A spark from your engines might set the ship on fire, and you'll go with it.
You be darned, Jacob McCluskey. Go and try it if you've a mind.
Hey, Captain, you've loaded up here until the boat sunk so deep in the mud she won't float.
Now, hold up there, you arrow. Hang on the safety valve, Bill. Guess you'll call off on the paddle.
What's the matter? They think it's a mob, and they got one or two engines.
Yes.
Hold on, stand around there, men. No violence now. Yes. This critter don't know what you mean.
Well, let him answer for the boy, then.
Down with him, link him.
Stand back, I say. I'll nip the first one that lays a finger on him. Keep you speak to the rest of you.
One or two. Where's Paul? What's come of the child?
Paul
dead.
Mort.
And you killed him.
Hold on, men.
Where Paul rests?
Oh, rest easy.
Hold on, man. Hey,
The earth about here has been trampled lately.
We're near Paul.
But look, he's finding this heap of dirt here. He means that he buried the boy Paul here. Dig here, man. Dig here, man. Thank you. Hello. Here's a bit of leather here. This is it's the mailbag that was lost.
And here's a tomahawk with blood marks on it.
See here, Redskin? What does this mean?
Paul Rusty. Boom.
Oh. He's trying to tell us that Paul was killed by a blow on the head.
You hear? He confesses it. I'll link him in.
Hold on. Here's my picture-taking outfit that was lost. It's smashed to pieces.
And a half-empty rum bottle. What more proof do you want? Ain't that proof enough? Come on, listen!
No! Stand back, boys. He's an Indian. Fair play.
I am on the spot.
Well, come on. The court, then. Choose the jury. We'll fix this, farmer.
This business goes against me, Captain Rats. It ain't right.
Go ahead, McCluskey. Let's hear what you have to say, or the accuser.
Me?
You were the first one to want to lynch him.
Well, what piece of argument? The boy and the engine were alone when last seen.
Who said so?
Everybody. Yeah, that is, I heard so.
Well, say what you know, not what you heard.
Well, I know the boy was killed by his tomahawk. The engine had been drinking, and when sober, concealed the body.
Who defends the engine?
I do. I don't believe him guilty. He can't have a fair trial here. There ain't no evidence against him. How are we sure the boy's dead at all? There's no witnesses but a rum bottle and an old photographing machine. Is it on such evidence that you'd hang a human being?
Evidence! Have we had talk enough? Give us proof!
Yeah. Hold on! Wait!
Master Sutter, look!
Huh?
Lord Almighty, look at this. Here's a picture I found sitting in your telescope machine. Look, sir.
What? Well, it's a plate from my picture machine. Hey, what's this? Two forms. The child, Paul, dead, and above it. Aha, Jacob McCluskey. Was you that murdered the boy?
I? Are you afraid to...
You killed him with Warrakee's tomahawk as you stood over him. You thought no witness saw the deed, but there was the eye of the Eternal upon you. The sun struck down upon this plate, the image of the deed. Here you are in the very attitude of your crime. No, it's true. The apparatus don't ever lie. Look, men, you wanted evidence and proof? Look, McCluskey. Heaven has answered and convicted you.
Jesus! What a court of law! What action of this evidence?
Wait, man, wait! Search him, we may find more evidence.
Well, would you rob me first and murder me afterwards?
What's this letter, huh? Hello, to Mrs. Payton, Terrebonne, Louisiana, United States, the Liverpool post box. I got hold of the tail of a rat. Come out now. What's this? A draft for $40,000 and credit on the Bank of New Orleans for the balance. Well, the rat's out, McCluskey. You killed the boy to steal the letter from the mailbag so that the money couldn't arrive in time to save the octoroon. Had it done so, Zoe would be free. Stand back. What say you, gentlemen? Is the prisoner guilty? Or is he not guilty?
Guilty!
And what's to be his punishment?
Yes!
We kill him!
No, Indian. Not revenge. It ain't you he's injured. It's the white man whose laws he has offended.
Away with him! Take him aboard! Put him down in the hat till we rig his funeral.
Robert, you against one?
If I had you one by one alone in the swamp, I'd rip you off!
Stay away!
Well, now then to business. They got him safe in the hatch.
Hold on, he's about to start it. That devil Clarkie, he tore himself from the gentleman. He knocked me down. He takes my light and he throws it on the turpentine belt. And the boat's all afire.
We're catching fire forward. Quick, cut free for the shore.
All hands aboard there. Cut the rope. Give a headway. Cut all the way forward. Every man on board. Overboard. Every man.
I've escaped them. Burn! And they thought they had me cornered. But I jumped overboard to the bank, and the fools think me still on the boat.
What's that over there? The engine with a knife. He's after me. I'll make for the swamp.
Hold on, Jacob. Not that way.
Out of my way! The engine will murder me. I'm unarmed. me kill him.
No, Wannity. You can't kill a man without a chance to defend himself. Here, McCluskey, here's my knife. Now you can settle with Wannity, man to man. And may the best man win.
The instant sloppy.
Wannity Paul!
Still lacks an hour of daylight, but an anxious Zoe has come to the Negro quarters in search of her wise old nurse.
Who there?
Sit down, Zoe.
Oh, Mrs. Zoe. Why you out in the swamp this time of night? Well, you catch the fever, sure. Well, you're all wet. Come over and get it.
Well, sit down.
She's going down to the landing last night with Mark Scudder. She's not come back since. I can't make it out.
Andy, there's a sickness up at the house. I've been up all night beside one who's suffering. And I remember that when I had the fever last summer, you gave me a drink, a bitter drink. It made me sleep. Do you remember?
Did I? Them doctors ain't no count. They don't know nothing.
No, but you, Andy, you were wise. You know every strand, don't you, and what it's good for.
Well, that stuff you drink last summer is first rate for red fever. Did the folks head bad?
Very bad, Andy. And the heart aches worse so they can get no rest.
Well, hold on a bit now. I'll get you a bottle.
I've got a bottle here somewhere. Uh-oh,
here. Yeah, that's here. Now, you give one thimbleful. Now, that's all. Now, just one thimbleful.
All there is there would kill one, wouldn't it, Auntie?
Well, I guess you kill a dozen. I ain't never tried.
It's not a painful death, Andy, is it? You told me it produced a long, long sleep.
What are you trembling so, Zoe? Why you speak so wild? What you going to do, missy?
Andy, give me the drink.
No. Who's sick at the house?
Give it to me.
No, you won't hurt yourself. Poor Miss Zoe. Why you ask old Dido for the poison?
To listen to me. I love one who's there at the house, and he loves me. It is George Payton. I sat outside his door all night. I heard his sighs, his agony, torn from him by my cunning fate. And he said, I'd rather see her dead than his.
Dead?
He said so. I rose up and stole from the house and ran down to the bayou. But the cold, silent stream terrified me. I could not do it. Then, as I knelt there, weeping for courage, a snake rattled beside me. I shrunk from it and fled. Death was there beside me, and I dared not take it. Oh, I'm afraid to die, Auntie. Yet, I'm more afraid to live.
Oh, my poor little mistress.
So I came here to you, my own dear nurse. Please, give me the bottle.
No, go away.
Oh, the drink, miss, the drink. You will not give me to that man. Your own Zoe that loves you, Andy, so much, so much.
No.
No,
Missy, don't. Please.
What's the matter, Dido?
Oh, quick, please. Mrs. Zoe, don't get the poison. Quick, please, run up to the big house. Quick.
My home at last. Every moment that man Jacob McCluskey, my master, may come for me. He has paid that price. But he'll never take me. He'll never take me.
Well, Zoe, where have you been?
We feel quite uneasy about you, honey.
I've been over to the Negro quarters. Soon I shall go there for good. How pale she looks.
Here you are, Zoe.
George, I've come to say goodbye. Two hard words. So hard that it might make break many a heart, mightn't it?
Oh, Zoe, can you smile at a time like this?
I'm reconciled to my fate. Soon it'll be all right with me. You, George, will forget me. You and Dora will wed. You will love each other.
How pale you are, Zoe. And how you tremble.
No, a weakness, that's all. A little water, Dora. I have a medicine here. Will you pour it in the glass? No, not you, George. I will put the medicine in the water. George, dear George, do you love me?
Do you doubt it, Zoe?
No. I'll take my medicine. Zoe, if all I possess would buy your freedom, I would gladly give it. I am free. I had but one master on earth, and he has given me my freedom.
Zoe, you're suffering. Your lips are white. Your cheeks flushed.
I must be going. It is late. Farewell.
Turn around. Let me pass you. Yes. Room.
Why, Miss Peyton, George, Careborn is yours. It was that rascal McCluskey. He stole the letter from Liverpool from Paul. He killed the boy to get that letter. Here, you'll read it, George.
Oh, yes. It's true. Terrebonne and all the slaves are saved.
Why is he? Why is the Zoe?
Why, what's wrong here? Zoe, water here. She faints.
No, sir. Ain't no faint. She's a dying. She's got poison from Dido's cabin this morning.
Zoe. What have you done?
Last night, I overheard you weeping in your room, George. And you said, I'd rather see her dead than so.
Have I then prompted you to do this?
No, but I loved you so. I could not bear my fate. And then I stood between your heart and Dora's. And I am dead. You will not be jealous of your love for me. No, Lord, you stand between us. Lester, dear, hold me close. So, let me look at you. And your face may be the last I see of this world. Oh, George. Now, you may, without a blush, confess your love for the Octoroon. Goodbye, my all.
The Octoroon was sentimental melodrama, typical of its day, and so it comes to this sentimental and tragic conclusion. Next week, the same hour, by way of contrast, we bring you a comparatively modern drama. The play will be Count Leo Tolstoy's famous The Redemption. I shall hope to see you all in your places.
Today's performance of The Octoroon was adapted for radio by Joseph Bell and produced under the direction of Harry McFadden. The commentator was Mr. Burns Mantle, prominent American dramatic critic. The music was arranged and conducted by Mr. Joseph Haunty. Included in today's cast were Jane Wyatt, who played Zoe, the Octoroon, Parker Fenley as Salem Scudder, William Shelley as Jacob McCloskey, Reed Brown as George Payton, Joseph Granby as Wanity, Jane Houston as Mrs. Payton, Ethel Everett as Dora, William Edmondson as Pete, Arthur Bruce as Little Paul, Laura Bowman as Dido, Roger DeCoven as Captain Rat, Fred Lewis as Jackson, William Pringle as Colonel Poindexter, James Kirkwood as Mr. Sunnyside, and Florence Pendleton as Minnie. The Great Play Series is an educational feature of the National Broadcasting Company. Next week, at the same hour, Redemption by Count Leo Tolstoy will be presented. A study manual, part two, giving complete background material for the great plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 10 cents. Send coin or money orders to the National Broadcasting Company in care of Great Plays, Radio City, New York. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of the series. By Diane Boucicault was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York. Mm-hmm.